Be'ez Hashem, we're now going to begin our Chumash class on Parshas Balak. And today's date is Be'ez Tammuz, Tov Shin Ayin Tes. Corresponding with the English calendar, it's July 15th, 2019. Today's lesson will border on a life lesson, midos, tovos, or ra'os, how human character and behavior is so affected by how we behave and how we think. And we're going to start with the story of Parshas Balak on page 856 in the Art Scroll Chumash. We will begin a little bit with the text, with the story, and then we'll go on to explain the parasha. The parasha begins, Vayar Balak ben Tzippor es kalasha osu Yisrael la'amori, and Balak, the son of Tzippor, saw everything that what the Jewish people have done to Amori. Vayogam Moav mipnei ha'am ma'od, and Moav was terrified from the people, from the Jewish people, kiravhu, because they were many. Vayokatz Moav mipnei b'nei Yisrael, and Moav was disgusted from the presence of the Jewish people. Vayomer Moav, and Moav said, El ziknei Midyan, to the elders of Midyan, Ata now yalachachu hakol es kol seviv aseinu kelchoch hashor. And now the Jewish people that are congregating around us are behaving like the way a shor, an ox, consumes its meals, its food. When an ox eats grass, its lips are thin, and when it pulls out the grass, it can sometimes also pull out the roots, and there's nothing that grows afterwards. Kolchoch hashor es yerek hasada, the green foliage of the field. Uvolak ben Tzippor melech lamor ba'isahi, and Balak, the son of Tzippor, king of Moab, was at that time their king. So just to give you a little bit background over here, the Bnei Yisrael were pursuing their goal of entering Eretz Yisrael. They were not intending to take over Midian or Moab. This was not on their agenda. But Midian and Moab were already terrified to see the Bnei Yisrael come forward, and they hired Balak to lead them somehow to be able to attack the Jewish people, to get rid of the Jewish people, God forbid, and hopefully be rid of this terror. As the story of the parsha goes, Balak hired Bilam HaRasha. Bilam was a prophet, and Bilam was known throughout the land that whoever he curses, the curse is taken strong effect on the country, or on the people, or an individual. And the people or the individuals suddenly perish. What was Bilam's ability? What was his specialty? Where was this expertise in Bilam that was so successful? Because he knew when to find the moment of the Almighty's anger. At that moment, at that second, at the day or night, and direct that anger against a person or against a nation. It was successful, like in the world of computers, you know, you press a link and all of a sudden, bang, you get a whole a whole file with sometimes thousands of bits of information, but you have to know where that link is. And to be able to get the link, all of a sudden, you are exposed to a whole file. Bilam knew that second, how to reach the Almighty and to be able to pinpoint the anger and then direct the anger. So Balak hired Bilam. And as the story goes, he asked Bilam to go ahead and curse the Jewish people, and Bilam refused to do it because Hashem told him not to. He attempted again, and Hashem saw that he wasn't going to let up. So Hashem gave him strong instructions: don't say anything unless I tell you, and so forth. Then the parasha continues on, and it shows the perseverance of Bilam to the extent where the donkey of Bilam was able to perceive a malach in his path, and Bilam couldn't. And Bilam struck the donkey three times because the donkey stopped in its tracks and it didn't want to pursue the road ahead of it. And until Hashem opened up the eyes of Bilam and saw that there was a malach with a dangerous sword in his hand, and he finally got off his donkey and he bowed down out of fear, out of respect, to plead for his life. Would one think that that would stop Bilam? No, it didn't. Bilam continues on. So we're talking about a person who is so steeped, or we'll say a better word, so intoxicated in evil, that this person was not really able to pursue the truth of the Almighty and what he stood for, and all he had in mind was to do evil. The Pirkei Avos, which we're going to show you in a moment, the Perek, talks at length about Bilam, and actually Avraham opposed to Bilam's personality, his midos. And we get a glimpse of who Avraham is, and as opposed to Avraham is Bilam. And we can see the driving forces of them both. And now the Mishnah will describe their behavior, and which will direct us as a result of following the right path as opposed to the wrong path. So as I just gave you an overview of the parsha, I'm going to ask you to look in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and it's Perek Hei, Mishnah Chavez. Let's hear that. Here we go. The Mishnah says the following: Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha devarim halolu, whoever has the following traits, hu mi talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, he is a disciple of Avraham Avinu. Ushlosha devarim acherim, and whoever has the other traits, hu mi talmidav shel Bilam HaRasha, he's a disciple of Bilam HaRasha. What are the traits of Avraham? Ayin Toiva, a good eye, Veruach Nemucha, and a humble spirit, Venefesh Rechava, and an undemanding soul.
Venefesh Fala.
Veruach Nemucha, I apologize, I skipped a line. Veruach Nemucha, a humble spirit, v'nefesh shifala, and an undemanding soul. Which means to say that he had control over himself, over his lusts, over his character, over his desires. It was not the man because he had control over it. This is Avraham Avinu. Let's repeat that. Ayin Taiva, a good eye. He saw everything in a good light. Everything could be interpreted in two ways. He saw everything with an ayin taiva, with a good eye. Beruach nemucha, and with a humble spirit, not to be boastful and haughty. He was a person who had been humbled. He is a person that if someone would make a comment to him that might not be so comfortable, he had been humbled. He's a humble spirit. He wouldn't lash back. Menefesh shefala, an undemanding soul. A soul that wasn't greedy, was simple, and had control over its biological appetite, so to say. He had control over his desires, over his character, and this defines Avraham Avinu. That's what it says, Talmidei shel Avraham Avinu. Ayin ra'a v'ruach gevaya v'nefesh rechava, an evil eye, a haughty spirit, and an arrogant, and a greedy soul. Talmidei shel Bilam HaRasha. This defined Bilam HaRasha. Let's go over that again. And Ayyuma, he always saw bad and he looked for bad. Like you say, the body, the bottle is always half empty. You can look at it as half full. No, always bad, it's always half empty. If there's a problem, a small problem with something, he'll emphasize and magnify the problem, even though that's it's minimal. Veruach gevaya, a haughty spirit. What does that mean? It means to say he needed to be honored with the best and the greatest. In the story of Bilam, the officers that came from Balak weren't big enough for him. He needed to be honored by better and more prestigious people. This is a man who had an insatiable desire for honor. And with that, he became arrogant. V'nefesh rechava, and a greedy soul. Never enough. There were more, he needed more money, he needed more taiva, as we would say, the more lust that would satisfy him. Whatever he had was never enough. He always wanted more and more. This defines Bilam HaRasha. The strange thing, and that we have to understand this, the Mishnah calls either the Talmud. It says, if you have ayin taiva v'ruach nemucha v'nefesh shafala, you have these three wonderful character traits, then you're a Talmid of the Talmid of Shel Avraham Avinu. You're his student. And if you have the bad traits of ayin ra, an evil eye, v'ruach gevaya, and a haughty spirit, v'nefesh shafala, and a greedy soul, then you are a student of Bilam HaRasha. What does that mean? I mean, you think in your mind's eye, a student is a person who is sitting in front of a mentor, right? And he's being taught something. So what is the Mishnah trying to say when he says he's a student of either Avraham Avinu or a student of Bilam HaRasha? So I saw a beautiful explanation. Harav Elimelech Reznik Shlita said in the Sefer Bishvilei HaParsha a beautiful understanding, a concept of how we are to approach Midos. You see, if a person has an ayin tova, let's take the good midos. A person has an ayin tova, v'ruach nemucha, v'nefesh afala. So he sees life in the prism of a good eye. He sees life in the prison, in the prism of ruach nemucha, of a humble spirit. Everything gets translated that way. That's how he sees life. He sees life v'nefesh shefala, an undemanding soul. He has control. He, whatever he sees is look through the prism of these three midos. So what he sees is how he is, the way he behaves. His behavior controls the what he sees and how he interprets what he sees. Bilam HaRasha had the reverse. He had an ayin ra, an evil eye, so everything that he saw had to be seen through the prism of evil, of an evil eye, a ruach gevoah, a haughty spirit. It had, he had to satisfy that haughty spirit. So whatever he saw was seen through the haughty, through the prism of a haughty spirit. V'nefesh achafa. And the same thing with this greedy and insatiable soul had to have more and more and more. If he had $1 million, that would not make him happy enough, because he would want $2 million. His demand at the parsha, we know, he says, when he told the officers of Balak that, you know, even if you give me a house full of gold and silver, I couldn't do against God's wishes. So in his mind's eye, what would have satisfied him would be a house full of gold and silver. Tremendously greedy, tremendously insatiable. Because he saw life through the prism of these bad midos. Harav, the Maral Diskin would further explain. So you see, nevuah, prophecy, is like, you see, a window. It's like God puts a vision in your mind. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw anything, when he had a vision, he saw, and it's called a spaklaria me'ira, a bright, a clear vision. There was clarity, like a clear window. But other Nevi'im, other prophets, not just Moshe, but other prophets, would not see it as clear as Moshe Rabbeinu. They would see it as spaklaria she'ena me'ira, that would see life through an unclear window, a tainted window. So very often, Nevi'im, prophets, would have to interpret what they saw in the way they were shown it. Now, depending on your midos, is how you would interpret what you saw. You understand? Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem, because whatever he saw was a spaklaria me'ira, that was a clear vision, a clear window. No tainted window in front of Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes. Bilam HaRasha, when he saw a vision, it was a tainted window. It wasn't clear. But he interpreted what he saw, all depending on who he was and his character traits. That was Bilam. Now, when Bilam HaRasha was told, right, to curse the Jewish people, and Hashem told Bilam, you can't, and he continued to try and persevere ahead to curse. So when he was given a vision of what to see, and how Hashem told them what to say, that then was a clarity. He didn't expect that, to see it clear, when Hashem told Bilam to say things which were to bless the Jewish people instead of cursing the Jewish people. He was hoping that he would get his vision in the same tainted vision, so that he could interpret that in his negative, evil way, with the ayin ra, with the evil eye, the ruach gevurah, the haughty spirit, and the nefesh rechava. But he was surprised that when he got his prophecy, as he pursued to curse the Jewish people, and Hashem showed him the truth, the clarity of the Jewish people, guess what? He couldn't use his midos rose to interpret it his way, because he was surprised to get a perfectly clear vision. Are you following what I'm trying to say? He was hoping that he would get the vision the way he would always get the vision, in a tainted way. And Hashem surprised him. And that's why the last of the three visions, we have that beautiful tefillah of Matovu Ohelecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael. When he tried his hardest to go ahead and curse the Jewish people, we know further ahead, the Torah tells us that Bilam HaRasha, let's see if we can find it quickly in the parasha, where Bilam HaRasha saw the truth, and there could be no mistake. Let's turn to page 870 in our Art Scroll Chumash, please. On Pasuk Hey, that's the third line from the top. This is his third attempt to curse the Jewish people, and each time he tried to curse the Jewish people, out of his mouth came a blessing. He couldn't interpret it any other way, because there was nothing tainted about his vision. He was surprised to see a clear vision. And what did he see? Matovu Ohelecha Yaakov, how good are your tents, Jacob, Mishkanosecha Yisrael, your dwelling places, Yisrael. And as the Medrash explained, Rashi also explains that when he tried his hardest to dig into the deepest recesses of the Jewish people's foundation to try to find something illicit about the Jewish people's past and its foundation, so he can start a curse from somewhere, he saw the foundation of the Jewish people was bedrock solid. He saw the tents of the Jewish people opening against, not open to its friend, but where the back of the tent, of one tent, was open to the opening of his friend's tent, where no one could look into his friend's tent. The two openings of tents were not opposite each other. In other words, he viewed the tznius, the morality, the modesty of the Jewish people on its highest level. And he rose to such ecstasy, and he saw with Hashem's nevuah that this is the future of the Jewish people. They are Matovu Ohelecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael. He couldn't take that nevuah and go ahead and taint it and interpret it with his evil midos. You know why? Because there was no tainted picture. It was clear to him. And therefore, he had no choice but to utter out of his mouth the blessing of Matovu Ohelecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael, that prayer that we begin every single day, that signifies who the Jewish people are. They are a holy, modest, sacred people. Having said this, we now can understand the role of Midos Tovos, how important Midos Tovos are. The Midos Tovos it's not just a good thing to have. Mizos tovos is so that is something that shapes our hearts and our minds. It helps us look at life through the true reality and the true prism of Hashem's Torah. When we look at life through an ayin tova, we look at life with the eyes of Avraham Avinu, with Ruach Nebucha, and with Nefesh Shefala, we see a different life.
Where is this?
Where's in the Siddur? Mm-hmm. It's at the very, very, very beginning. Ma'atovu Ayalecha Yaakov is right before Adon Olam. Oh. It's right before Adon Olam. And this is such an inspiring tefillah that it had to be the first tefillah we say in the morning. We say this because this establishes our goal as a Jewish people and our agenda as a holy people. Because what Bilaam wanted to do at that time, to curse the Jewish people, was an incredibly evil devastating curse, and he put all of his power, all of his efforts to try to find something illicit. And as he dug to the deepest foundation of the Jewish people, he found that the Jewish people is bedrock solid. That's what he found, the Jewish people, because their foundation is midos tovos, their foundation is tznius, it's morality, modesty, and all of the elements that to make Jewish people an Am Kadosh and Am Segula.
Other than this one time, was Bilaam able to give blessings? Like, as if he was always tied essentially to...
Well, again, the answer is he would not choose to. He couldn't. Because Bilaam HaRasha was so corrupt that his life was completely enveloped in evil. It's like he saw life, like we see the Mishnah says, through an ayin ra, through an evil eye. Everything was interpreted.
And he was the prophet for the other guys.
Right. He was proper for them. Now, Medrash explains to us that he was as great, if not greater, in prophecy than Moshe Rabbeinu. But he chose to use his attributes to do evil, to be negative, as Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, so we see from over here to what extent is Midos Tovos. And I don't know if I'm surprising you, but do you realize that you daven for Midos Tovos at the very, very beginning of davening, at the end of Birchas HaShachar? Birchas HaShachar is the brachas of Shlo Asani Goy, Shlo Asani Oved. If you just take a look at on page 20 in the article Siddur here, you have, if you look at inside here, let's start at the third line after the Baruch Ato Hashem. Here, try over here, the third line, it says, Shetargileinu b'saratzecha. You're asking Hashem to accustom us in your Torah, v'dabekeinu b'mitzvaysecha, and attach us, cling us to your mitzvahs. Va'al tivienu lo lidei chet, and don't bring us to doing sin. Va'lo lidei avera v'avam, and that's sin on another level. Va'lo lidei nisayon, and not to be tested. Va'lo lidei vizayon, and not to be put to shame. And look at the next request. Va'al tashlet banu yetzahara, and the yetzahara shall not overwhelm us and control us. We should be distant from bad people and from evil friends. V'dabekeinu b'yetzah tov, and we should cling to the yetzah tov u'b'mazam tovim, and to good deeds. V'chofes yitzreinu l'ishtabaloch, Hashem, please, help us control ourselves, that we should be subservient to the our yetzer tov, and force us and help us to be able to do good and not evil. We daven for this. We do it every day. How important this is! And in line with what I just got through saying, we also have a prayer that also starts at the very beginning of the davening, and that is Reishis Chokhmah Yiras Hashem. That's also, we say at the beginning of davening, Reishis Chokhmah Yiras Hashem, fearing God, right, is the first knowledge, the first wisdom. That's the beginning of all wisdom. If you fear God, then you are on the right track. And how does one know if he is or is not fearing God? Well, if you're ever challenged in doing something you ought not to do, and you curb your passion, your inclination, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to do it, it's not right, I'm not going to give in, then you should know that you are experiencing a test that you're passing. The test of Yiras Shamayim. You are being challenged, and you're curbing your inner feelings so that you're going to have control, and then you should be knowing that you are on the path to Yiras Shamayim. I want to conclude the evening with a famous Gemara. Now, we talked about Midos Tovos and Midos Ra'os as being so essential to human character and behavior. And if we have Midos Tovos, just as a quick summary, then you're looking at life through the eyes of Midos Tovos. And if we, God forbid, don't have Midos Tovos, and we have Midos Ra'os, then life is being looked through the prism of bad Midos. And then everything we see is interpreted that way. Now, if you would think that that's where it ends, then you're making a mistake. Because the Gemara in Gittin, and I may have mentioned it at a different occasion, but it fits in with our discussion today, is that we have the famous story in the Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, that talks about Unkelus Hager. Unkelus, the convert. Well, we are familiar that he became a very, very special Jew, so holy and so great that he actually brought back one of the forgotten translations of the Torah, which we have in most Chumashim. We have the little, it's called Unkelus or Targum Unkelus. Okay? Now, before Unkelus decided to become a convert, he wanted to know if he was doing the right thing. Okay? So he was able to bring up, well, let's just say with kishuf, with black magic, for lack of a better way of explaining it, the souls of three evil people. He brought up the soul of Titus of Russia and asked him whether he should become a convert. He brought up the soul of Bilam HaRasha, and he brought up the soul of Yashka, Esei HaIsh. I'm just going to read you the Gemara that talks about Bilam HaRasha. Okay. The Gemara, actually it's on the top of Nun Zayin Amar Aleph and Gittin. Askel Bilam Ben Negida. He brought up the soul, I'm just reading it, you'll just listen outside. He brought up the soul of Bilam HaRasha. Omalei, he asked him, Man Chasha Bahu Alma, who is great and revered in the world there in heaven? Remember, this is the world of truth, the world in heaven. Omalei Yisrael. Bilam HaRasha says, the Jewish people, Mahu Lidbuki Bahu, what is your opinion? Shall I cling to the Jewish people? Could you give me advice? What do you tell me? What should I do? Omalei, this was his answer. Lo Sidrei Shleimam V'Teivasam Kol HaYamim. Don't seek their peace or good all of their of your days. Stay away from them. Now here, just let's finish up the Gemara. Omalei Dina Nahu Gavu B'Mai. What are they punishing you in heaven? Omalei B'Shichvas Zera Rosachas, with boiling semen, because he was the instigator of giving the idea of having the Benos Midian and Moav to dress provocatively and to attract Jewish men to live with them and to full and to commit avodah zarah and adultery. And obviously this created a terrible, terrible crisis in the Jewish people. So his punishment is that he gets boiled in semen, and I guess he's created and recreated and boiled again, whatever, and this is his punishment. But it's so important to look at the language of Bilam HaRasha. Look at the paradox. Uncles asked him, who is great in heaven? You know who's great? The Jewish people. Should I cling to them? He says, no, don't get close to them. How can you say that? If in the world of truth, you can, that he sees the truth, that the Jewish people are on the top of the world, then what should the obvious answer be? If you have an opportunity to cling to them, rush and try your hardest to cling to them. The answer is, he couldn't say that, because his evil midos, his corrupted personality, his behavior, was so bad that he couldn't even utter those words of cling to them in the world of truth. Because when he died, he brought his evil midos with him to heaven.
So how did Uncle Os deduce to be a convert?
So after all this, each one did say the truth that the Jewish people are on the top of the world. And then he did come to the conclusion and decision that he was going to become a Jew. But what I wanted to bring out from the Gemara here in Gittin is that it's so important that we spend our lives in this world working on Midas Tovos. And don't think it's easy. We know that it says in Mishlei, Sheva, Tipot Tzadik Vakom. Sheva, seven times a Tzadik falls and gets up. A Rasha falls once, he never gets up. The concept of seven times, it's a concept of re-energizing yourself and bringing yourself to get yourself up again. Life is a challenge. Life is up and down. But we have to realize our goal in life is to try to strive for greatness as much as we are possibly potentially capable of doing. We have to try. And what we do to ourselves in this world, there is two benefits. Number one, in this world, we have the benefit of looking at life with pure and refined eyes, if our eyes are being influenced by amidos. The second benefit is we will take our midos with us to heaven, and there we will be able to see the true world in its true light. How important it is that we should daven for Hatzlacha, we should daven for Yiras Shamayim. We should try to bear in mind that Midas Tovos is our goal and our agenda. And with this, we will be able to rise to the challenge and succeed in our daily performance, Avodas Hashem. Have a great week.